Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Is this thing on? There's a secret word here that applies to several of you. It's not secret, but it's, or phrase, I should say. Let's start in verse 8. Or 7, excuse me. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. It's imperative that you recognize the totality of what that says. Your ancestor, my ancestor, Adam, he ate of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's a natural tendency to think that he only ate of the tree, the fruit of the tree of evil. And so therefore, the fruit of it is that we always get deceived by something that we believe is good. Does that communicate? Whatever is a gain to you, is really control. So, I mean, that's the point. I want to, no matter what you can conceive of, if it's something that your mind keeps, it's going to be in some way, at that time, a gain to you. Now, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Well, let me go on and we'll get to this more clearly. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is really just being right, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. The word being made conformable is the same word that in Romans 8:28 it talks about that our goal is to be conformed into the image of Christ. Remember? And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now the idea that we're conformed to the image of his Son, we first have to be conformed to the image of death, to his death. That's why the suffering or the loss of all things is part of being made conformable. Now, what happens? If I have been made conformable to his death, that means I have died his death. That's what that word made conformable means. Just like If I'm made conformable to his life, then I am made conformable to the same thing. If I have been made conformable to his death, the place then, the only possible place of anything going on, because the entire universe by his spirit is now my buddy, my friend. How can I say this? How can it be my friend and everything is against you? There is nothing that can happen to you if you've been made conformable to his death that isn't exactly what God has for you. That's why the Lord is my shepherd and I never have to want. That's why there is, above all things, my brethren, I would that you would prophesy. Because if I keep anything internal, if the core reason is that I'm trying to protect myself. I'm trying to keep something for me. Am I communicating with you? If I am made conformable to his death, then to be made, it's souche metamorpho or whatever it is. It's the word that means it's the same thing as the transfiguration where I'm transfigured or where I'm raptured or where I'm caught up. I have to be first made conformable to his death. In numerology, remember it's seven is the day of rest. Six is the day of man. And eight is the day of resurrection. I can't go from five to eight. I have to go from six, which is the best that man can do. The constant thinking, the constant churning, the constant going on. To seven, which is rest, which is in effect the cross. To eight, which is the resurrection, but I can't get from six to eight without going through the death, to the seven. I have to be made conformable to his death, and everything in me has to be part and parcel of that conformity. So that if I am made conformable to his death, then there is no part of me that I have held for myself. There is no part of me that I've held from my own control. There's no part of me that in any way is in my control any longer. I've been made conformable. I have experienced the same death that he experienced. Now, what's the fruit of that? Ronnie and I had a long talk this morning. The fruit of it is that I prophesy. I say what's there all the time. If I feel whatever I feel, I say it. I don't ever keep anything for me, because if I keep something for me, if I am dwelling on something in my own mind, then all I am doing is I'm trying to gain something for me. Now, the reason that we are so fortunate is that we have a venue to let whatever is going on within us out without fear of being expelled, without fear of being goodbye, without fear of somebody looking at us in shame. Now, my greatest concern, since I guess it's been 3 years now since I've really been engaged, is that as far as I can tell, maybe I'm wrong, I hope I'm wrong, that no one is exercising their brother down to the level of exposing what is going on within them. In other words, we're dealing with each other as Gentiles. We don't We don't exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Now, I've had an unbelievable number of conversations about this with Mr. Bojo. I've preached on this more times than I can even comprehend or remember in Mass. I've had more meetings over this issue with Harry than anyone else, because Harry loves, for 3 weeks I've been dealing with something. What is it going to take for you to be conformed, made conformable unto his death, so that you will say what's there, because it's not about you? Am I communicating to anybody? Gary, what's going on?
Well, I'm hearing you. I saw that I changed that word death into virtue, which is love.
And your virtue is, and your understanding of virtue is as a menstrual rag. Well, most and many times there's no exhortation because you're afraid somebody's going to exhort you. Do you understand me? If I'm sitting back and framing my words and being concerned with what I'm going to say next, then whatever is going on is a gain to me, because I'm still trying to be in control. I'm still trying to be right. I'm still trying to be made conformable to his the good part of him. And so, there's nothing going on from God's standpoint. Anybody else? Do you know, it talks about that, you know, we don't have to go again, that he wants us to prophesy, right? I mean, you all agree that that's necessary? Remember, the word prophesy or prophecy in the New Testament isn't telling the future. It's from the Greek word nabi, which means it's the process by which wine ferments. Wine is, as far as I know, the only alcoholic beverage that is, everything is in and of itself. There's nothing added to the old good wine. And what happens is, for the best wines, the only wine that's acceptable in the sacrifice, it had to go through 7 lees. So when it starts out, it's just a bunch of junk that people have been walking on to crush the grapes together. And so in the first lee, it's easy to see. It's because the wine is fermenting, then it's constantly bubbling. And there's a bunch of crap that goes to the surface, and there's a whole bunch of crap that goes to the bottom. And the process for that wine becoming wine is called prophesying. Nabi. Fermenting. But if anything stops the process, then it's a grape trying to be a good grape. It's a grape trying to be a right, righteous, virtuous grape. It's a grape trying to be right. And the grape trying to be right is leprosy, is leprous. So the process then of the first lee happens very quickly, because what happens is the crap is scraped off the top. It's the vat is tipped so that the dregs at the bottom stay there, and then you've got the second lee. Then the same thing happens again. For seven times, to represent the seven linear days of time, or 7 days of linear time. And the eighth day, the wine is sufficient. It's good enough to represent the bride, the resurrection. But if you're not prophesying, you might as well still be a lonely grape out there whose only possibility is either to be eaten or become a raisin, instead of being the good wine, which is the parable of it, of the bride. No, when the wine is wine, the individual grapes are not seen any longer. God doesn't have a wonderful plan for that grape, except to become the wine, except to go through the process of prophesying so that everything is bubbling forth, so nothing is kept for itself. Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. You would say what's there. Oh my God, I can't say that. Then you're trying to keep something for you, because it's a gain for you to keep it, because otherwise you will suffer shame or embarrassment. This is why the process that we've been going through for so many years has made so many enemies. Because as long as I was healthy, there was a constant exhortation to say what's there, to say what's there. It doesn't matter. Oh, but if I say what's there, then I'm judging somebody. No. You're exhorting somebody. Because you know that you are guilty of the same thing. Really, the difference between exhortation and judgment is the admission that you're guilty of the same thing. And judgment in the scriptures is the word judgment is krino, but the kind of judgment that's forbidden in the scriptures is katakrino, judging down. In other words, saying you're going to hell, or you're evil, or you're going somewhere other than to be with God. What it means when it says judge not, lest you be judged. Katakrino, not. But the point of it is, just because it says don't judge, you're still walking around in judgment. And your silence is the evidence of your judgment, because you're waiting for something to respond. There's all kinds of things that are going on, but you are somehow concerned that it may not be the right thing, or it may cause you embarrassment, or it may cause somebody to yell at you. Whatever it is, you're protecting yourself. Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy, that you might be made conformable unto his death. That you might suffer the loss of all things, so that you know they are but dung. That you might understand that the only thing that is worthwhile is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That all the other thoughts and ideas and crap that goes on, they are there and they're going on for the benefit of the body. you keep them to yourself, doesn't matter what it is. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Back just a second.
Go anywhere you want.
I just want to see if I have this clear. Being conformed to his death is a state of emptiness and total dependence on God, and the only thing that happens in is the resurrection when God causes it. That's not a passive state, but...
Well, there could be some... What also could be happening is that if you're not speaking, if you're not prophesying, or if you're prophesying even, it might be revealed that somehow because of you, the evil one has deceived you, and you've been walking in deception.
Which is good to reveal.
That's absolutely necessary to reveal because, everything that happens that. I won't mention any names, but someone said, well, I couldn't say that, then I'd be judging the elders. The point is, you're already judging the elders. You're just coward enough not to say it. You're keeping the judgment to yourself. Well, it says, don't bring an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses. It doesn't mean that you have two or three witnesses to the offense that you thought of. It's the fact that you have two or three witnesses that will be there to judge to find out whether what you say is true, so that at the mouth of two or three, every truth may be established. You don't have to. If you see me doing something really stupid, and you're the only one that sees it, that doesn't mean you can't say anything. It means you must bring two or three others with you in order that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses there's some kind of discernment.
That's kind of like if I or you have something and you hang on to it and think, well, this is just not the right time. There will be some time in the future to say that. But really, it's like, if you give it away, if it's the wrong time, it'll be checked.
Right. Yeah. Remember, in the temple of the living God, God has placed two witnesses that have never died, according to the book of Revelation, Elijah and Enoch. Elijah is prophecy, and Enoch is wisdom. So the point of it is it's all taken care of. It's not your business in the first place, and that's the perfect picture of you just speak. You just be. Now the point is, don't make a vow that says, okay, I'm going to say what's there in the future, because all that'll do is enhance and empower the Antichrist to be raised from the deadly head wounds. If you haven't been doing this, then what you say is, Father, forgive me because I have resurrected myself. I now leave all of me behind, and the next millisecond of the future is in your business, in your hands. I'm not going to vow for a while. From now on, I'll prophesy. Then what you've done is you've then just breathed more life into the one that was killed from the deadly head wound. To say I can't do it anyway even is to bring life into the... Take no thought. That's the problem with somebody that just spoke, is that they keep thinking of themselves negatively, but they're still thinking of themselves. Abandon yourself. Take no thought. Oh, no, but for some, it's good to take negative thought. The only time you're to examine yourself is to prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you? Don't sit there and dwell on your crap. Oh, that's why I'm molding my crap, and I'm putting gold on my crap, and I'm putting all kinds of little... writings on my crap. Little sayings that only said. Josanna is sneering at me. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I was thinking when we first got together and started talking about this stuff, it was like, because it was exactly what I always did, which is just, you know, trying to get things right and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, to see that, well, actually what you did was you tricked us, and you got us to where, you know, it was like, okay, you start talking or saying stuff freely, and then you find that you're looking at this pile of shit that just came out. Without, you know, it's a surprise, you know, first time that happens. But without that, you don't know that you're the chief of sinners. You don't even get anywhere near that.
Especially for those of you that weren't around then, Mr. Rutledge's famous statement was that I lost count of how many times he said, "Oli, that's bullshit."
That's bullshit.
And we finally figured out that his role was to be the inquisitor. His role after the flesh.
Bad role.
Bad Skippy was the inquisitor.
But getting the subject off me. I was thinking about a grape trying to maintain its own ripeness, and still, you know, it's like it's the equivalent of a cancer cell in a winemaking thing. It's like, this isn't going to work, especially if there's lots of them. then nothing really happens.
Be made conformable unto his death. Anybody else? Michael? You understand?
What do you got to say?
Did anybody feel like they were, like I'd read their mail, or?
Anybody feel like they've got mail?
Go meddling again.
But without this, then, you know, your life as a Christian is a joke. You're just trying to make the outward look good.
Always looking for a safe place.
Well, we'll probably spend some more time on this. But let me just read it one more time that we've studied this morning. Just look at these words. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Amen. Can you see why any part of you, any self, any of self, is a gain to you? Can you see why we need each other so badly? I was asked to speak a whole bunch of places since I've been ill, but or in bedridden, but at the Religious News Writers Association annual convention in Seattle on this next Saturday. And that's something I would like, you know, I would have liked to have done. But by whatever economy of God, I can't do that. It would be absolutely stupid for me to do that, to try to do that. I would only hurt myself. Now, the point of it is, whatever thing that, there's nothing that you could want for you or yours that isn't in the same boat. It would be polluted by whatever it is that you think you want, and it would be the evidence that you're not loving, giving breath to the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. Now, the process of discipleship is the process of finding out the things that your mind tells you are as stupid as me going to Seattle and speaking at that conference. They're just there to hurt you, because they're there to enhance your self-realization. Anybody? Does anybody?
That's a great example, because it's like that's a thing that would be judged good. There's nothing wrong with it. How can you find something wrong with it? Except, you know, it would.
Well, it would be a disaster.
You'd blow up. Because we always, whatever it is we're thinking about, we judge it to be good. That's what to do, but.
Thinking of a party, you know, like feasts and parties, and how just about anybody will enjoy freedom in a party setting. But I wonder if we have, I don't know, a party all the time. I mean, not, you know.
Well, it is, and it's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So that the same spirit is there because you know who you are. And you've stopped and left behind outside the door everything else. Amen. Nobody has anything else?
I was thinking of a wedding train that, train as for going to the wedding party, you know, and if that's, speaking of a party,
amen.
And that's the charm that you always used to talk about, you know, being fully experiencing grace, that you know, people don't know what it is in your life. You want to leave that death to come find out without you having to do anything.
Yes, think about the garment. You can't go into the wedding without the garment on. The garment is Christ. If you go in with self, the whole wedding would be destroyed.
Well, no, you would be destroyed. The wedding, nothing can destroy the wedding. But it's not just, it's not if you go in with you on it, it's if there's any part of his garment that's touched by you.
Yeah.
So that there's the garment is spotted by the flesh.
I mean, the point is, if that stayed in the wedding, it would spread. And that's why it's kicked out or destroyed or got rid of.
Alrighty, take it big guy.